welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. And with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message, Living the Life of the Spirit. And there's a beautiful passage that Jesus quoted in John, recorded in John, verses 37, 38, and 39. And he said, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Notice, out of his belly or heart shall flow rivers of living water. Wow, what was Jesus telling us there? Well, living the life of the Spirit, I believe, is experiencing those living waters, those mighty flowing streams of the Spirit flowing out of us. This is what God has for us. And as we go on to understand the ways of the Lord, let's just look at what this passage is saying. Out of his heart or belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, what's important about the heart is a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what Proverbs 23:7 says. And rivers, not a muddy stream, but rivers of living water. Isaiah 12:2-3 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, even the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Praise God. Isaiah 43:20 says, the beasts of the field shall honor me, the jackals or dragons in the King James Version, and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. What is that scripture describing? Well, it's talking about waters in the wilderness. In the wilderness of this earth that we walk through, we dwell in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. But in the wilderness of this world and the wilderness sometimes of our own spiritual experience, God said that He would cause waters to flow. And rivers in the desert, rivers generally don't flow in the desert, do they? There might be a water hole, but rivers? So, beloved, the greater the battle, the more difficult the testing, the harder the trial, the greater is God's supply. And He wants, why, not just to have rivers flowing there, but that He can give drink to His people, that He can meet the needs of His people. When you're in a wilderness place, a desert place, what is the greatest need? Well, obviously, it's for water. And He desires to provide that. Why? Because there are people that He has formed for Himself. Note the beginning of this verse states that I shared in Isaiah 43:20, the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons, the ostriches, because God gives water to His people in the wilderness and in the desert. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly or heart shall flow rivers of living water. Beloved, this is very, very important. It's not what our denomination, our church, our pastor, or tradition says that counts if it's contrary to God's word. We can have those rivers of living water only as we believe what the scriptures has said. Also note, it didn't say river, but plural, rivers of living water. And in verse 39, we find Jesus was speaking of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe should receive. Now notice, this is just something you might overlook, he didn't say that all believers would receive this. He said they should receive. It's something he wants for all of his people. But many won't believe that this is experiences for them. And so as a result, because they don't believe it, or they are taught by leaders and pastors that it's not for today, it's not for them, they simply won't receive it. Jesus said in Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Notice that Jesus said they would receive power, not salvation. They were already saved when he spoke those words. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Instead of fighting among ourselves, instead of debating doctrine and quibbling over our opinions of what Scripture says, instead of feeding unproductive emotions, we need to recognize who we are as children of God. Well, we might have even been instrumental in getting ourselves into the mess that we're in. But you know, beloved, God is, he's a wonderful, loving father. When your children make a mistake, you don't kick them out. You don't say, well, you know, look how stupid that is. But you lift them up. You help them to walk in the right way. And the same is true of our Heavenly Father. God has made a way of escape for us. Our intention is to be fully in Christ. And beloved, we must desire, we must want everything which the Lord is offering to us. I know when I came to the Lord in 1973, I'd been raised in a very strict fashion in a major denominational church setting. And, you know, went to church not only every day, went to church every day before school started. I mean, we raised very, very strictly. And when I became, 18 or 19, I just threw off the traces. I said there I'd never be in a church again. I didn't believe in God. I became an atheist simply because I felt there was just such hypocrisy. There wasn't any reality in what I was seeing. And it wasn't, I mean, I walked 10 years in the world and I had no one witness to me. But when I did, when the Holy Spirit began to minister to me, when I met some real Christians, it was then I didn't understand. I mean, I didn't know the word. I had no idea. I was in a denomination that you just did what you were told, and you didn't really read the word for yourself. And I had no understanding of the word. I didn't know what it meant to praise God. I didn't know about so much of the things that, you know, if you have a full gospel experience, you take it for granted. But all I know is I was really hungry. Lord, I said, I want everything you have. I just knew that Jesus had changed me. I just knew that Jesus was real. I just knew that I loved him and I wanted to serve him the very rest of my life. When I died, I wanted to be with him in heaven. That's all I wanted. And then, you know, that's all that God wants for his people. He wants people to turn from the gods, the idols that they set up in their own heart, whether it's fame or fortune or their own desires, in their own self-indulgence, whatever it is. He wants to be enthroned on our hearts. That's all he wants, is a relationship with us. And out of that love relationship, beloved, that's where our desire to walk in holiness and in a way pleasing to him comes from. It's out of that love relationship. We get the cart before the horse. We start taking baby Christians and say, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. That's not the way of the Spirit. Let God deal with each one. He knows how to minister to each one. And I'm just so grateful that many years ago, the Lord brought me into the ministry of Unveil Christ Ministries, Brother Glass, a man that was not only a powerful preacher and moved in the gifts of God, but had the very spirit of Christ. He had great wisdom and great discernment. And because of that, it was a safe setting for me. Because of my experiences, I had learned enough things that, I mean, if I'd have seen a lot of stuff that I know now goes on in the church, I probably would have run out the door. So you see, beloved, we need to have God's heart and vision for souls, and not to limit him as to what he can do. I'm not talking about a tolerance for sin, but I am saying that living, the life of the Spirit is setting ourselves to God's purposes and allowing him to bring us into experiencing that full life of the Spirit. We need a restoration of those spiritual experiences and that life that existed in the early church in the New Testament period. And I believe God has something even greater for the latter days. He saved the best wine till last. Living the life of the Spirit is to know what the Christian life was in the early church. Christians whose lives were freed from evil spirits. They were baptized in water and in the Holy Ghost and fire, and they were powerhouses for God. Once we begin, beloved, to live this life of the Spirit, everything which was said about the early church Christians, I believe, will be said about us and will apply to us. Everyone tends to fear what they don't know anything about. And it's why a great majority of Christians don't understand what John was talking about, John the Baptist, about the baptism with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and how they could improve their lives and be more effective for Christ and be taught by the Spirit about God's Word if they would only believe. And believing, brother and sister, is the key. You can become a powerhouse for God. Powerhouse Christians are really men and women who reach beyond their own present capabilities and give themselves to the Lord in such submission and dedication and love and commitment that they grow and grow into the very stature of Jesus Christ. That's my heart's cry. How about you? Amen. Well, it's been a blessing to minister to you on this subject, and I pray that you've been encouraged and inspired and are desirous of experiencing that fullness of joy and life and peace that God has given to us freely. I'm going to bring this broadcast to a close right now. The announcer will give you our contact information. I do invite you to write. It's such a blessing to hear from new listeners. Some of you may have listened for weeks, months, never have written. But if the Holy Spirit's nudging you, I invite you to obey him. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.